Hello, everyone. This is Irit Ezips for CSM Practice. Thanks for joining me for another podcast episode about customer success best practices. A while back, there was a post on Facebook around how do we predict churn in a consumption-based model? When you run a consumption-based model for your subscription business, it's hard to tell because it constantly changes. So you can't use the same health score or churn indexes as subscription-based models. And so today we're going to have a very special guest. His name is Avner Baruch. He's been in customer success and sales enablement for many years. Besides being an executive at Rapid, he's also working with multiple startups and the software companies to help them understand how to battle churn in a more effective manner. And he came up with this formula that if you implemented it for a consumption-based model, and even I would dare say, MRR model, meaning monthly subscriptions, you're probably going to be able to predict churn way ahead and be able to mitigate that churn risk quite effectively. So Avner, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me here.
So maybe the first thing that we do is we just double down. Why is there such a big difference between subscription-based models and churn-based models so that we can kind of highlight why does consumption-based models needs their own churn predictor?
When it comes to subscription-based model, we've got some level of commitment. So again, you can focus on data. You can focus on those signals coming through the communication channels, either through the product itself. You measure the way end users are using, consuming data, using product, your service. That makes your life easier in terms of understanding whether there is a problem. Consumption goes down, adoption goes down, etc. When it comes to consumption-based, first of all, before you apply any formula, you need to know your customers inside out because there is no one-size-fits-all. And that makes your life very, very challenging because some businesses have specific patterns. They've got those frequent consumption patterns, events once a month, once a week, etc. And then you've got other businesses which are more frequent from a consumption point of view. And it's not just about the frequency. It's about the volume, the size of the data, if we are talking about data consumption. So you need to factor in many, many parameters. It's a more granular approach. It takes more effort in order to identify and predict risk in the consumption-based model. The bottom line is businesses that operate in a consumption-based model, they are at high risk of losing customers or losing revenue because they've got their own bills to manage. And they need to basically manage those bills very smartly. And when someone basically quits on you, you've got bills to pay and you've got no revenue coming in. So becoming more predictive is extremely crucial for your business. Focusing on the churn score might be too late for consumption-based businesses.
You talk about the difference between subscription models and consumption models, especially vis-a-vis defining ways to predict churn ahead of time and reduce it. Maybe we can double-click on subscription-based metrics. How are those different than churn-based metrics?
Altogether, when you have a subscription-based model, assuming everything works by the plan, so you've got those commitment coming in on a monthly basis, for example, MRR is piling up. If everything works by the plan, there is a success plan and the customer is like happy. So you've got more customers joining the book of business. So the MRR is piling up, is increasing. But altogether, there should be like a steady incline of business revenue. And if something like breaks down whatsoever altogether, you know, you've got that steady line of business either flattening or increasing or even declining. But altogether, it makes very easy for leaders to understand where do we stand from revenue generation point of view.
This is how subscription models really work. Given that, how should we define a churn indicator? What could we double click on in order to mitigate churn risk ahead of time and get an early indicator for a subscription model?
So you need to look into other areas that maybe you didn't think of or you took it for granted. But in most cases, when you design a success plan, when you kick off a meeting with a new customer, those are the areas that most businesses, customer success managers don't look at. They just focus on the most obvious metrics, which is let's set a list of milestones, let's meet, and if something happens, they don't show up for those meetings, we've got a problem. Knowing your customers inside out, putting aside your product, your service, know them, know what they're selling, to which market they're trying to sell. And if there are any signs of them not reaching their goals, this will affect the way they consume your service, your product, the way they use your product.
Is there anything else you want to emphasize here?
Using very simple technologies, which you can embed, deploy free of charge, you can understand if the ad count is changing on their side, that's a very strong signal. You've got a problem.
Was there any other churn indicators besides headcount that's shrinking related to consumption? And by the way, I would say that the headcount metric is also potentially could impact subscription-based models. Would you agree?
Definitely. So putting aside those signals, which has nothing to do with your product, et cetera, like headcount and changes on their website, you can use external devices or extensions or whatever in order to see if there are any changes in their go-to-market. So previously, they were like targeting X number of countries, using X number of languages on their website, et cetera. If there are any changes on their website, you can tell whether their business is expanding or shrinking. Next thing, they might actually stop meeting with you, no show ups whatsoever, or they might actually say to you on the face, we no longer need your service whatsoever because we're no longer targeting that specific country.
I think what's cool about your presentation is that it highlights we have actually access to so much external data that's not related to the specific product that most CSMs don't leverage for lack of bandwidth or because it does require some higher touch model. Let's talk about data-driven, proactive approach to solving the churn issue. What's your stance on that?
First of all, it takes a village to win, not just the CSM, the customer success manager. And this highlights the importance of having a dedicated ops for the customer success team. Someone needs to orchestrate this approach, this methodology, or any other methodology. Someone needs to make sure that everyone is on track and whatever system you decide to deploy, someone needs to manage that. So going back to what I'm suggesting over here, moving away from a reactive problem solver, which puts you like always behind whatever needs to happen. You're always reacting to the problem. And in most cases, this is just too late. The most important tip I can say here is the business needs to transition to a proactive prevention. Some of the tips, the tools, the best practices that I came up with is relying mainly on data, meaning you need to be able to understand those patterns, need to identify patterns of each customer or each vertical, better said, because every vertical has its own unique behavior. Being able to identify patterns, then that means you can act upon incidents, etc. It's not just about collecting data. You need to be very smart about how to use the data. At any given moment, the business, mainly customer success, need to leverage data in order to create a benchmark that can actually help other customer success managers, and most importantly, help other teams that take part in customer journey, meaning sales and marketing. That's in a nutshell how you become data-driven.
You worked with so many clients of yours, the software companies, to help prevent churn. What's your take on some of the proactive strategies that you've seen work best?
Well, first of all, your business is growing, hopefully. That means your book of business is growing, the number of customers is growing, you've got like a volume of customers that sometimes it's not aligned to the resources you can dedicate to allocate to manage properly your customers. And if for some reason something happens from a product technical point of view or whatever it is, then you need to make a very, very hard decision. Where do we invest our time? Which customers do we need to manage first? What do we do? What usually works best is you need to come up with a criteria that would help you to understand the Pareto, meaning you need to draw a line and you need to decide what do we consider as top contributors. Those top quality customers that can generate quality or can generate revenue to our business. And what is the type of customers, bottom customers, low contributors, whatever you want to call them. What are those customers that we need to invest less time for the sake of those high contributors? And that's a very, very hard decision. Sometimes you come up with a three-tier level, sometimes two-tier levels, but at any given moment, you should be able to tell by looking at the customer, whether it falls under top or bottom, high contributor, low contributor. In order to achieve that, sometimes you need to look into other areas. Instead of relying just on revenue, NRR, CSAT, NPS, sometimes those data points are not enough. So what I suggest usually is to enrich the data using account enrichment, for example, adding more signals to your book of business, for example, looking into company size verticals, looking into like deploy technologies, what defines our customers? What are the signals that can help us to better draw the line? We made a very strategic decision because if we push the line downwards, we'll lose big time, huge revenues.
I agree. I've seen it happen again and again. CEOs don't want to lose any revenue and then they accidentally double down on a cohort that actually puts them in red and doesn't do any favors for their growth strategy. You mentioned before scoring the churn. What does a churn score looks like? What are some of the variables included in that formula? This is your secret sauce.
So again, in most cases, in order to simplify the process, businesses just look at flat numbers from a subscription model, ARR, MRR. From a consumption point of view, they look at the NRR or the revenue they are able to generate from a specific customer, etc. That's not good enough. That's going back to the doctor analogy, postmortem. It's too late. So I came up with this equation or formula that is consisting of four variables. And not only that, if you want to make it more accurate, you need to apply specific weights for every variable. So that's a weighted system. And using weights can basically allow you to avoid a one-size-fits-all situation and apply some flexibility or agility to the equation. The first variable basically looks at the month-over-month net revenue or any other revenue figure or signal, but you need to measure the current revenue you are basically making out of this customer. You need to look at the trend, whether the revenue is increasing or declining. That's the first signal, the most obvious signal. The next variable is basically comparing that to where you were a year ago. Why? Because again, some economic crises have applied to a specific country or geographic location or vertical and may not apply to other businesses. So the fact that you've got some customers losing their business doesn't mean that the entire book of business experiencing the same problem. So we need to compare the current situation with whatever happened a year ago. And then we can tell whether the business we're talking to is having hard times this year.
Number one, short term, look at trends month over month, up or down. Second variable is that we'll look at what happened last year. And that gives us like the 20,000 foot level scenario. Exactly. And in here, I just wanted to reiterate that outside of revenue trends, you can also look at number of employee trends, because sometimes the revenues don't tell you the full story around whether the company is in growth mode or bearish era.
Definitely agree. Again, you can apply a more granular idea if you've got the resources, the time, and the effort to do that. Definitely. It's like driving a car. You don't want to look at one specific gauge. You want to look at the temperature. You want to look at the fuel meter. You want to look at five different gauges in order to make a right decision.
You mentioned four variables. Those are two. What's the third and fourth variables?
So in order to establish the third variable, you need to have historical data, meaning if we are in 2023, you need to know what happened in 2022. So you need to establish a baseline of performance, either headcount or revenue, NRR. So you need to have that baseline available for every calculation you're making today. So either like whatever the NRR is today, whatever the revenue is today, you need to be able to measure that against last year's performance. At that specific time, you can actually tell whether our business is below the average or above the average. That's a more a broader understanding of whether we have a problem or not. And this can give you a better resolution in terms of whether we have seasonality issues or fluctuations that are caused because of specific spikes.
What's the fourth variable?
So that's probably the most advanced one. Let's say you've got that business like file transfer, transferring files from one point to another. And when business are blooming, everything is okay. That specific business transfers files on a weekly basis or daily basis. So from a supplier point of view, you expect that same behavior every day to be the same. Every day, 9 o'clock in the morning, there is a huge file transfer going on. From a payments point of view, that business settles or transacts on a weekly basis, whatever. That's like a fixed pattern. Now, if something happens on the customer side, it's slowing down. They are experiencing some issues. So they are consuming less and less and less. That means those consumption events become less and less frequent. So at any given moment, from a supplier's point of view, you need to calculate the average time between events, between transactions, between consumptions, between actions on the customer side. If you have an idea of the average consumption, if something changes, if the next event takes longer, you know there is a problem because it takes longer than the average time between events.
I can't agree with this more. This is one of the main metrics that we have in our health score. When was the last meeting? When's the next meeting? Did they log into our customer hub? Did they not log? Like, how long has it been? Frequency of usage of our content. Things like that. I think that suggests a lot. What I love most about this variable is that if you're in a travel business or you have a software business, but you're also selling training, an on-prem product, you could still look at how long ago did they request training? How long ago did they actually log support tickets? And if the frequency between logging support tickets or requests for training has been gone wider and wider in terms of the time span between events, you can kind of tell that they're less and less engaged.
It's like us calling our parents. We have this daily call every morning, 9 o'clock. And then if we don't call, that means something happened.
Yeah, exactly. Your predictive churn signal or score, what is the total formula looks like given these four variables?
So altogether, you've got those four variables. You know, you need to sum them up together and hopefully you can automate that. So no one actually needs to invest any time putting together this equation per customer. If you can automate that, you can apply some weights, different weights to different variables. You can exclude specific months from the historical data calculation, etc. Altogether, what we're seeing on the screen is the four variables with different weights applied to each variable. So for some businesses, historical data means more than for others. Then you can apply a bigger rate or bigger weight for that specific variable. For some, they care more about the month-over-month analysis, so you can apply a bigger weight to that specific variable and so on. If you don't care about weights, you want to have like a very flat calculation of those four variables, just ignore the weights and just sum up all the information together, automate that and put it on a dashboard or share that information as a call to action for your CSMs.
This is a wonderful churn score for consumption models and monthly subscription models. I think that these three variables probably wouldn't work for a business that sell annual subscriptions or multi-year subscriptions, but this fourth variable definitely will. And I think that what prompted you to create this was a post by someone as like, how do I predict churn in a consumption-based business? So this is why this formula is so great for consumption-based businesses. This is spot on. If I had a consumption business, this is going to be a very accurate formula.
You're so absolutely right. As a wrap-up action item for me, I'll find that post. Someone was actually asking that specific question. I need help. I don't know how to measure churn. I came up with this. Maybe I'll find that person and share this recording with him.
Avner, thank you so much. I think it's such a mind-blowing thing that you actually came up with this formula. You actually tested it on a bunch of your clients. And this is going to be so much helpful for a lot of us in the community that have a consumption model and are battling with creating a truly predictable model for their churn. So thank you so much for sharing it with all of us.
Thank you very much for having me, and hopefully this will help others as well.